Whatever Nation, welcome back for another episode of the wild parenting ride that we like to call Never Thought I'd Say This. Although we tend to err on the side of wacky and crazy and funny and silly, today's episode is a little more serious than usual. We are going to talk about the mental health crisis that is seemingly enveloping our teens. Not our, just me and Celia's,
right,
but
in general.
There have been so many articles and studies, and so many people are seeing and talking about just what's going on with teen mental health right now. And obviously, the pandemic has been a huge part of that. Social media is a huge part of that. And the world in general, it's a little crazy right now. There's a lot going on for young people to process.
I never thought that I'd feel so helpless with this.
Yeah.
Because not only am I a therapist, so you'd think that I would know how to handle it when, you know, my teen is struggling, or even my preteen is struggling, but I was that teen. Like, I was so depressed and sad and anxious and, like, couldn't really put my finger on why most of the time.
Right.
And yet, when it comes to helping my own kids, I don't know what to do. I feel like, oh my God, I just want to take this away from them so badly. So I kind of keep having to be like, Just listen. Right. You know,
I mean, it's hard. I know, you know, my daughters have gone through all kinds of stuff, particularly with the pandemic. They seem to be in a little better place right now with social interactions and all of that. I know that underneath all of that, there's still a lot going on. You know, it's so hard as a parent to watch your kids struggle with stuff like this, because like you said, like when they're little, you're like, I can fix you. I can fix this for you. I can change the environment for you. I can, you know, let me try and do all the things and sort of put you in the bubble that I know I can make.
Right. Even like, I can write the teacher if someone's bullying you. Like, it's like they get to a point where they're like, don't do that. Then I'm a narc, you know.
I now have had to, you know, and sitting back and learning to watch your kids have to learn their own lessons is so fucking hard. Like, you see it coming. And now I know what my mom went through when she was like, I've done these things. Why don't you listen to me?
Oh, God, I've thought that too.
But, you know, watching the complicated dynamics of teen relationships, of crushes, of friendships,
yeah,
all of that stuff. And knowing that, like, you can't dive in and rescue them. You can't dive in and be like, oh, hold on, I'm going to talk to your friends for you. I'm going to talk to your friend's parent. Like, you know, the stuff you used to do when they were in preschool, when they would have a problem and you'd go and be like, I'm going to talk to their mom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, then you're a narc. Right. Like, they're that kid.
Like, right. You can't, unless obviously there's something really serious going
on,
drug use, life-threatening, suicide ideation, things like that. You're kind of like, okay, I have to coach you a little through this, but I really just have to listen and let you experience this. Because I remember, for me, there was no way my mom could have told me shit about, like, she tried.
Yeah.
It was like,
oh, looking back on it, I'm like, oh, that was actually, I see what she was saying. And I do feel for my mom in that sense, because I was so sad and I was so anxious. And I think she, you know, didn't know what the hell to do for me. And she wasn't really that kind of person. I mean, also, my mom got married when she was 17. You know, her teen years were very different than my teen years were. Right. And so I think it was really hard. I think that was probably the case with Lori as well. I don't know about Julie. She kind of hid things more. So I don't know, which is also a dynamic that I have to look at in my house is that, you know, I worry sometimes that one is going to hide things because they don't want me to know their feelings.
Of course they are. That's kids. That's his age.
So hard.
They're going to hide. They're not going to talk. They're trying to figure these things out on their own. And it's scary, you know? And right now, just even for myself, I look at the world and I go, oh my God, climate change. It's
seriously.
As a young person, if I knew, like, I know this as a 40-year-old woman, I'm like, oh my God, the things that are going to happen in my lifetime. I look at my daughters and I'm like, how do you even think about, how do you process this? And I know that it weighs on them.
Same.
And I know it's something we talk about, how to fix it, how to change it, but also the sort of that knowing the inevitability of it, I think is huge for them. And their entire life being disrupted by a pandemic.
Yeah.
The social climate and things of what's going on, not just in this country, but all over the place right now.
Wars and...
There is a lot that is thrown at them that we were able to walk away from the TV if our parents were watching the news. We were like, oh,
it's boring. Yeah.
Right. And go and kind of focus on other stuff. And I know kids do that as well. They're not quite, you know, focused on this all the time. But I also know a large amount of the TikTok videos they watch are young people talking about climate change and our news videos and are talking about, you know, police brutality and like all of these things.
Political stuff and rape and murder. And yeah, it's a lot.
As much as you want them to, I know for my kids, my girls are old enough and they like to have informed discussions about what's going on in the world. I also know that too much of that, it makes you crazy.
Yeah.
It really, really makes you crazy. And I definitely have had to cut down on my social media interactions.
Oh, God, me too.
And I know, you know, I'm so torn as a parent because I know on one hand, it would be great to be like, that's it. We're not doing phones anymore. Fuck social media. Like, we're, you know. But at the same time, I also watch how much fun, like my girls will make TikTok videos, dances together. I'm like, oh, they're doing something together. They're being creative. They're having fun.
They have inside jokes because of it. Like, exactly. Yeah, like, I know.
They talk to their friends. They meet up with their friends. They, all these things that there's like such a cost benefit analysis that has to go on. You know, I don't think there's any winning as a parent. I don't think you ever feel like, yep, I'm doing exactly right.
No, God, no. Well, and there's a bunch of, you know, reasons that have kind of come out about what is contributing to depression amongst our teens. And I thought it was going to be much more tied to the pandemic than it actually was. And so I think it's important that we do talk about this so that we know what to look for more than I thought I knew what I was looking for. And I didn't really. So when we get back from a break, we'll explore what's happening to our teens and why they feel sadder and more despondent than ever.
All right. We'll be back. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. You know, I will tell you one thing, Celia. Mm-hmm. I wish that life came with an instruction manual, but unfortunately, it doesn't, so I hear. But if it did, I would want to start the chapter that explains what to do when things are overwhelming.
Oh, God, seriously. Many people are burnt out without even knowing it. And after the last few years, you're likely familiar with it, even if you're not quite sure that's what you're experiencing.
Yeah, I mean, people don't always realize it, but physical symptoms like lack of motivation, feeling helpless or trapped, detachment and fatigue are actually key indicators of burnout.
Yeah, you know, and burnout could feel like anything, you know, for you. It might just be that you feel overwhelmed. You don't want to talk to friends. You're having a hard time getting out of bed. You know, you've stopped working out or doing things that you love. A lot of times, you know, you kind of write that off as being tired, but in fact, you're burned out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there are times when you just say to yourself, you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do that. Like, you just really can't bring yourself to like pull it together and get out of bed. Right. And we've all had those days. We understand those days. And it's really hard to regroup after.
Sure.
And we associate burnout with work, but that's not the only cause. I mean, burnout can occur for a variety of reasons. And if any of this feels familiar, just know that you don't have to suffer in silence because there's always somebody to turn to thanks to BetterHelp.
BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. Talking with someone can help you figure out what's causing stress in your life. And nobody knows this better than me because, you know, I'm a therapist and a life coach.
Yeah. And so you are listening to people all day and you know exactly the transformative power of what therapy and talking to someone who really listens and understands and gives you the tools to do better, what that can do for somebody.
Absolutely.
So BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to.
Not only that, but it's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy.
Never thought I'd say this, listeners. Get 10% off of their first month at betterhelp.com/say this. That's BETTERHELP.com/say this.
As parents of teens, we see and feel this as an extension of being around them and their friends. And, you know, it doesn't help that across the board, a variety of events have occurred in the past few years that have attributed to a mental health crisis for people of all ages. You know, being alive right now is really hard and varying degrees of hard.
Yeah.
You know, there's frustration, there's worry, there's all that. And then there's, you know, direct consequences of climate change, climate refugees, war, famine, all of these things.
Socioeconomic things.
Yeah, like it's, exactly.
Yeah, huge.
Exactly. So, you know, we realize that there is a broad spectrum of this, but it's happening more often than not to kids just across the board. Know that you're not alone and that being alive right now is really hard, whether you're a teen or a parent or just a normal human being, which I don't think normal is
there. Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, what is that?
The article that we're talking about today is Why American Teens Are So Sad by Derek Thompson, which was in The Atlantic.
Yep.
One of my favorite magazines.
Me too.
And explores the changing landscape of happiness and lack thereof in contemporary teens. Teens in the U.S. are experiencing an extreme mental health crisis. According to new data from a new CDC study, from 2009 to 2021, 44% of American high school students, they say they feel persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness, which is an increase of nearly 20%. This is the highest level of teenage sadness ever recorded. And that fucking breaks my heart.
Me too. And I feel so overwhelmed by that as a parent. Like, it feels so overwhelming of like not knowing how to help. Like,
well, knowing that there's such a, there's so many things that are out of your control that like,
How do you help? Right. Well, the study surveyed nearly 8,000 high school students in the first 6 months of 2021 and discovered a wide margin of mental health issues among different groups of kids, including more than one in four girls reported that they had seriously contemplated attempting suicide during the pandemic, twice the rate of boys. Oh. That makes me want to cry. Nearly half of LGBTQAI teens said that they had contemplated suicide during the pandemic, compared with 14% of their heterosexual peers. Plus, sadness among white teens seems to be rising faster than among other groups. And then we have a bigger picture. You want to go into that?
Yeah. God, I'm just blown away by all that. And I know how hard it has been in the pandemic for a lot of LGBTQ young people because they've been stuck at home, often stuck at home with parents who do not support them and who are incredibly critical of them. So they've had to be home. And, you know, I was talking to another friend of ours the other day, and she was talking about, you know, her kids and what's going on in their lives and how they have friends who are go by this name or, you know, they, them or whatever. And she's like, I'm trying to catch up and do my best. You know, she's like, everyone is welcome here. And I don't, you know, if they're gay, straight, trans, whatever. She's like, it doesn't matter to me, whatever, you know, if what they want to be called, I will call them that, whatever. She said, but it's so sad to see when they get picked up by their parents that they have to tell people, make sure you don't call me that name. Or make sure you don't mention this. And they, she said, you know, and then they completely shift to this other persona when their parents pick them up. And of course, it's natural for kids to have like their friend time and then their parent sort of persona.
Yeah.
To live in that as an LGBTQ teen, young person who has to basically compartmentalize who they are.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you have to hide who you are.
That's incredibly hard. And, you know, I would imagine that for girls especially, with the more than one in four girls reporting they had seriously contemplated attempting suicide during the pandemic, I feel like that also is a huge tie-in to social media and seeing, you know, these photoshopped, which I fucking can't stand.
Yeah, filtered to bejesus.
Yeah,
you know.
I hate the filtered Photoshop.
I'll take a zit out, but that's about it. And sometimes not even, sometimes not that. Yep.
Strictly for the reason, and I've talked about this before, that I want to show that fucking life is real. You have skin problems. I don't have, you know, a tiny little fucking waist and a giant ass booty.
I don't have big boobs. I don't know if anyone knew that.
If you made your boobs giant on Instagram, that would be so weird.
Maybe I'll do it just for this. I'll post a picture just for this. But it's not that I've never used a filter, by the way. But as over the last few years, I've more and more, I've been like, fuck that. I'm not going to do that.
I think because of the reason of raising two young daughters, and I know that that affects them. I know that they see Kardashians and models and, you know, the Hadids and all of this stuff. And they all are quote unquote perfect. But I also know that the magic of filtering and editing and all of that on your phone and on computers and especially in magazines and things like that, those things are hardly ever attainable. Like if you saw what the photo shoot looked like compared to what the final product looked like, it's vastly different.
It really is.
And I say that as someone who's seen pictures of myself and gone, what my head looks like? I don't think my head looks like that. you know, the bigger picture here is teens' mental health is getting worse across the board and in every demographic across the U.S. Since 2009, sadness and hopelessness have increased for every race, and this includes straight teens and gay teens, teens who say they've never had sex, and those who say they've had sex with males and or females, students in each year of high school, teens in all 50 states and D.C., which basically means even if you think this isn't my kid, this isn't my teen, it most likely is. And it's not because your kids are acting out or being bad. In fact, the data from this study suggests quite the opposite.
This was so surprising to me, by the way, this data.
Oh, yeah.
Go it on. Really was. It was. It's since the 1990s, drinking and driving is down almost 50%.
True. And I will actually attribute a big part of that to Uber.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I know I'm a sure lot you're of right. kids use Uber mm-hmm. and thank
God. Great.
I wish I had Uber in high school. Like, oh, my God.
I wish I had friends that wanted to do anything with me in high school that would have made me want to take an Uber, but you know, whatever. Theater dork. School fights are down 50%. Sex before 13 is down more than 70%.
Okay.
School bullying is down and LGBTQ acceptance is up.
Those things give me hope.
Me too.
And make me feel better. And I do see a change in environment and a change in the way teachers talk to and talk about mental well-being with students. And I know B a couple times has gotten really, really upset over something at school, whatever it might be that sixth grade, 10, 11, 12-year-old girls have moments about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's had teachers who have been like, hey, let's do this. Let me talk to you. And have really put in that extra effort and haven't said like, oh, you're a problem or you're distracting or you're this. But they understand that what kids are going through right now is a lot and they need people in their corner. But I love hearing some of the positive news that like some of the fighting is down, drinking and driving, LGBTQ acceptance, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we all have to realize that it could be very likely our kids.
Yeah.
And your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, listen, I think we're lucky because our teens talk to us. Our kids in general talk to us.
They do.
At least to a certain extent.
At least to a certain extent. But I always have to remember, like, as much as I know, it's like the iceberg. I know what's floating at the surface and what they're willing to tell me. And then beneath that is a whole load of shit that I don't know about.
Well, sure. But at least the tip of the iceberg stuff. And I agree with that. Absolutely. We have a little bit of a window.
Right. Right.
That they're not hiding things like about who they are. So if I see that little tear in the window, because I do know my kids so well, I can just be like, what's going on? And sort of get a conversation going, as opposed to I do know a lot of parents who think, and I work with some of these kids where they don't feel like they can tell them anything. So they feel like they have to act perfect all the time. They are obviously struggling like behind the scenes. And that actually scares me more.
And it's hard sometimes to tell with teens and adolescents mm-hmm. and young people, because they're going through puberty and hormones. And so they're naturally up and down and they're not always
the same person that went to bed the night before.
Like, oh my God, is this something I should actually worry about? Is this mm-hmm. really a problem or is it just some normal teen shit? And, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. But objective measures of mental health like anxiety and depression have had a sharp increase over the past decade, which includes eating disorders, self-harming behavior, and teen suicide. A report published for the American Academy of Pediatrics late last year found that across the country, we have witnessed dramatic increases in emergency department visits for all mental health emergencies, including suspected suicide attempts.
Ugh.
I would like to say that that is in large part because our country does not provide adequate mental health care across the board for anyone. And if you don't have insurance, you're fucked.
You're really fucked.
And even if you do.
Right now, you're fucked. You can't get in.
You can't get in. And also, even if you do have insurance, often mental health isn't covered.
Yep.
Fuck all that noise. That needs to change. I have huge problems with the American medical system and particularly
same
the way it treats
here.
You know, lower income people yep. who don't have insurance and young people and mental health.
And also, by the way, how insurance companies treat mental health counselors. Mm-hmm. I don't accept insurance. A lot of people don't anymore because we don't get paid.
Right.
You might say you have insurance and then we can't get reimbursed. Mental health counselors are just kind of thrown to the back burner. Yeah, we just don't. You got to really fight for years and years and years of payments to come through. And so, it's like, we don't matter.
Yeah. So I will say to our Never Nation listeners, I think this is something that we all really, really, really need to step up and try and make changes on and figure out how we get mental health care in a much better place in this country and medical care in general.
Yeah.
But it's happening with our young people and they're only going to get older and it's only going to get worse.
That's right.
You know, just because modern teens have been exposed to and comfortable talking about mental health, which is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
But it doesn't mean that the mental health issues that they suffer from have completely disappeared. So just because your kid is able to talk about maybe a friend with an eating disorder or depression or anxiety or this doesn't mean that it's gone away for them.
Right.
You know, but thank God, at least the conversations are much more open, I think, than they were when we were young.
Yeah.
You know, I like to blame COVID-19 and the pandemic for
things. Right. That's what I said in the beginning. Same.
But that's not entirely to blame either. And I am going to say that it's social media. I actually read another article in the Atlantic called Why Have the Past 10 Years in America Been So Fucking Stupid?
Or
something
read that.
Like that. And just had a big giant F for Facebook, like on fire, and a bunch of people like, that's really a big piece of it. But Lawrence Steinberg, a psychologist at Temple University, says that rising teenage sadness isn't a new trend, but rather the acceleration and broadening of a trend that clearly started before the pandemic. And we shouldn't ignore the pandemic either. The fact that COVID seems to have made teen mental health worse offers clues about what's really driving the rise in sadness. And there are four things that can be pointed to that are the driving cause of teen mental health crisis. And they are...
Well, number one is exactly what you said. Social media.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, fuck you guys. I mean, I was scrolling on Instagram, I think it was last night, and I all of a sudden was like, and it wasn't even bad things. I was just reading like articles. It was like, you know, accounts I love. It was cat videos at one point. And all of a sudden I was like, holy crap. I'm all of a sudden really sad. I have so much anxiety. What the fuck?
And
I
like, cats are better than mine.
It was like, I like these cats more than I like most people. But, you know, but I was like, I have to put my phone down because I kind of feel like it's my fucking phone. And I turned off, I got rid of my phone, and actually I had the TV on in the background too. I turned off the TV. I picked up a book and I started reading my book, and it was amazing. And I actually made a note in my phone, which was a little reminder to myself, stop with the screens when you feel anxiety.
Right. Yeah. Because like, oh, let me go do something.
Fuck,
I'm like,
no. Go to sleep even, you know, but I read for a couple hours, and I was like, my heart rate dropped. Like I felt so much better. And I just kept thinking, what the fuck is this like for kids? So,
well, you know, in fact, Instagram's internal research from 2020 found that 1/3 of teen girls said that Instagram made them feel worse, even though these girls feel unable to stop themselves from logging on.
It's a drug.
It's that little pleasure center. I know, even sometimes I'm like, oh, I wonder if anyone saw this. Oh, I wonder, what did this person like it?
Yeah.
I'm like, shut up. Does it matter?
Yeah, it says, even though most people have a positive experience with social media, especially during the pandemic, data suggests that teen girls aren't included in that group. Plus, there's a big new study from Cambridge University where researchers looked at 84,000 people of all ages and found that social media was strongly associated with worse mental health during certain sensitive life periods, including girls ages 11 to 13.
Now, we're focusing a lot on young women's experiences, but this is kind of across the board for teens, but a lot of the stuff is specific to young girls. This is also because teens, particularly teen girls, are uniquely sensitive to the judgment of friends, teachers, and the digital crowd. So essentially, social media is like jet fuel for driving obsessive thoughts about perfection when it comes to body image,
like,
and popularity,
you said. Yep.
Because it is a verifiable metric of your worth thanks to things like likes and views. You're basically like, oh, I got 2,000 likes. That means I am 2,000 people richer.
This article came out, I think I read it yesterday or the day before. It was the day before. No, it was yesterday morning. At the same time, there was a law that passed, or at least Facebook, Meta, and Google, and somebody else all agreed that they had to be more accountable about the effects of social media, and they are hiring more people to come in to discuss how they can do that. And there is a law that's up, and I think is probably going to pass, although I don't know where it's starting, that they have to be held more accountable for the content that's going up on social media. And it can't be Facebook, you know, where people are just watching these horrible things and then people at Facebook were killing themselves.
Well, Twitter is now owned privately.
Well, they're not part of, I don't even know if Twitter was in that group, but at least somebody recognized something.
True. Although I will say I do not trust the corporations
absolutely
to
not.
Make the problem to solve the
problem. Nope, absolutely not. That's why there better be some sort of outside something looking at it. Maybe mental health fucking counselors.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Because there's so many of them that are not stressed out and doing 9,000 things.
Well, hold on. I do want to say, out of the corporations we just said, I want to give props to Google, because Google actually really does do a shit ton for their employees, and they actually seem to care. They are constantly hiring mental health counselors. You do get mental health counseling for free if you work for Google.
Right.
When they see data like that, they seem to be the one company that is like, oh, okay, wait, we'll take this in and we'll make it better.
Well, I certainly hope so.
They're about it, though,
right.
As far as I can tell.
Well, there's a lot of money to be made off of making people feel terrible.
That's right.
Then they buy things to make them feel better.
Well, right. That's why we got those little ads in your Instagram feed. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Also, the number two thing that can be pointed to that's one of the driving causes of teen mental health crisis is that sociability is down. You know, if IG was simply replacing TV, it wouldn't be nearly as harmful as it is to mental health. However, thanks to the pandemic and the changing landscape of how we live, social media has replaced the hangout. And it's so true.
That's like, so
even
true.
Even when my kids are together, we're all sitting on the phone.
How many times have we had our kids together where I'm like, give me your phone. Put your phones away. Like,
put your phones away. Put your phones away.
I found me and Lulu were up in her bunk bed the other day. I walked in and they were on the iPad. I was like, give me the iPad.
Right.
Yeah. Talk to each other.
Right. And you know, on average, the normal teen spends around 5 hours a day on social media. In order to get their social media time in, they're eliminating a lot of positive activities, including sleep. And I can definitely talk about that happening in my house.
Yep.
Which I think is for all sorts of reasons that sleep is disrupted. You know, I know Zoe's always kind of had a struggle with going to sleep, but I do know that social media is a huge thing. So I have like, I turn the internet off at a certain time. They've got a limit, you know, their phone, their screen time turns off. I collect phones. I try and
Lulu has to give me her iPad before she goes to bed. She doesn't have social media
but then,
though.
You know, often there's like an old iPad.
Right, a hidden something.
Or a
contraband.
Computer, right. But from 2007 to 2019, the share of high school students who got 8 or more hours of sleep declined. 30%.
Wow.
And I think it's also just from stress and scrolling and all, your brain gets...
Yeah, it can't turn off. You can't turn off.
And the blue light, god damn it. And not only that, when compared with their counterparts in the 2000s, today's teens are less likely to go out with their friends, get their driver's license.
That surprised me.
A lot. It's a huge trend that kids are not getting their driver's license. Again, they don't have the money to afford insurance.
Right. And gas.
All that stuff, like that shit's way too expensive for young people. And... they've got Uber and Lyft and ride-sharing things where they're like, why would I pay all of that money when I can pay like $10 to get to my friend's house instead of paying $700 a month for a car?
Man, Harper can't wait to have a car, you know? And she's like Zoe trying to save money.
I don't know what car you're getting.
See, you Harper's start to work. Harper's been saving money. She had a summer job last year. She saved that money. Like, and I appreciate that, although she also has very unrealistic, I think, expectations of what kind of car she's going to be able to afford. But, you know, we'll see when we get there. But I think it's interesting that I had a job at 14. I worked at a yogurt store when I was 14. And the only reason I did that was because, well, A, for yogurt, because duh. Yeah. Frozen yogurt, you know.
Right.
I mean, and then I needed new clothing because free frozen yogurt. Right. And that was awesome. But I wanted to save money because I knew I wanted to get a car and I wanted gas. And my mom made it real clear. Oh, well, I mean, unless you plan on like, I don't know, like dealing a car, you're not unless you're paying for it, you know, like and that we had to pay for our gas and our insurance.
You know, we mix all of this with the pandemic and being forcibly isolated.
Right.
And also the decline in sociability. And things have just gotten worse and very fast. A 2020 survey from Harvard's Graduate School of Education found that loneliness spiked in the first year of their pandemic for everyone, but it rose most significantly for young people. And that, you know, is large part in due to that time of your life is about connecting with peers and social groups outside of your family. And that was completely cut off and stunted. So, you know, the loneliness of being stuck at home and being forced to use social media to create community has created this like perfect storm that really has exacerbated the stressors among teens where, you know, it's like you have to be home. So you have to be on social media, but social media is the thing that makes you feel worse. And now you're not going out of the house because of a pandemic. And even when you can now go out of the house, you'd rather be on social media because that's where you've created, you know, a connection.
Right. Well, and also they're not used to going out of the house. Like there's fear based, you know, into what's going on out in our world. And so they want to stay in a lot of the time, which is number three. The world is stressful and that news is everywhere thanks to social media and smartphones. Right. And holy fuck, I'm guilty of this. All of this that I'm about to read, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm fucking guilty of. Mm-hmm. Teens are experiencing a sort of pile on effect where they just can't seem to escape how horrible the world is because news of it is everywhere they go and in everything they do, including their parents, me, I'm adding that, because modern news uses a bad news bias, aka the more negative the news, the more popular and shareable it will be. There is a never-ending abundance of horrible stories that pivot in the direction of being terrifying because that's what sells. And I am a fucking doom scroller, but I am also a researcher. So I want to read all the shit.
I
want to
know.
But I don't need to share that with my fucking kids. And I was doing that a lot until Harper recently called me out on it and was like, you got to stop sharing that with me because I know you're doing it for our, you know, our protection. But I also know it's because you're anxious.
Right.
And then I'm taking on your anxiety and I can't do it. And I was like, holy shit, you're right. I'm sorry.
God, it just even reading that, because, you know, the end part, because that's what sells, like, it just infuriates
me too.
You're willing to sacrifice
our kids,
our humanity in order to make some fucking companies ridiculous amounts of profit off of the sale of our thoughts and interactions and friendship.
Even
and
just that app.
This is so, like, it's...
Even just this little app, right, that's popping up right now, that little red sign, right?
You know?
Oh, I unsubscribed. I could try and open that, but I will not be able to read the whole thing, and I am fucking fine with that. But I had been paying, what is it, like $10 a month so that I could read all the news all the time.
I have that. I have the Apple.
The other day, I went through Apple. I went through all the things that I was like, here are the things that I could save money on and also that are stressing me the fuck out that I spend any kind of time or energy on. And I went through everything in my phone and my computer and was like, that's gone, that's gone. Right. And that was the last one I did. I sat there and reasoned with myself for a good 25 minutes.
Right.
And was like, finally, like, no,
let it go.
Fuck it. I don't need this. If there's something really important, someone's going to tell me anyway.
But here's the thing. It's very hard with teens and young people who have phones to, first of all, you're like, don't do that. And they're like, yeah, fuck off.
Yeah, I don't even say that to them.
But, that you know, it's like, how do you, I mean, other than taking the phone and doing all that kind of stuff, which we do.
But I'm not on the TikTok and they are.
Right. Yes, exactly. With all of the questionable materials in baby products these days, I mean, parenting can be scary. It's not just the food that you're feeding, but it's what you're putting on your baby's skin, what is in their diapers. Mm-hmm. And you want to keep your baby safe and protected without sacrificing their comfort.
Yeah. And with Coterie, your baby can have both the cleanest and the highest performing diapers. They are also extremely comfortable on their little tushies.
You know, I wish that Coterie diapers were around when my daughters were younger, particularly my younger one, because she was so sensitive to diaper rash, like any little bit of moisture, and she would just get the worst diaper rash, and it would take, you know, days to go away. And I always felt so bad. But Coterie is the highest performing diaper on the market for infants and toddlers. And that's because it holds up to 2 times more liquid capacity with up to 4 times faster moisture wicking versus other brands.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I agree with you. I wish that Coterie had been around as well, because, you know, with my girls, if they were even a little wet, they were miserable. And with Coterie, your baby stays drier longer. And Coterie parents report fewer nighttime diaper changes. Oh, how nice would that be? Which translates into better sleep quality for your baby and for you too. And we all know how important that is.
Oh, yeah. And Coterie diapers are made with clothing grade material, giving your baby a cashmere like feel so they're more comfortable.
They are dermatologist tested and they use only the cleanest ingredients. Plus, Coterie wipes are National Eczema Association approved. I love their wipes. I keep them in my purse now.
Their wipes are amazing and they don't dry out your skin. There's no additives to them. Mm-hmm. I love them. They really, really, really do the job. All that and Coterie's been awarded best diaper and wipes by both The Bump and Parents.com. So forget about nighttime leaks and wet sheets and try the Rolls Royce of diapers. Coterie.
Right now, Coterie is partnering with our podcast to offer you 20% off of your first order plus free shipping at coterie.com/say this.
That's Coterie, spelled Coterie.com/say this for 20% off and free shipping. That's coterie.com/say this. Number 4 is what we were talking about with modern parenting strategies, which is the attempt by modern parents to set their kids up for real success is actually feeding into the problem. We are putting too much pressure on kids to achieve. I really try and step back from that. Like,
yeah,
I
mean,
to be honest, my kids, their grades aren't always great, but I know that they have the successful components of being a successful human being in the world. For me, school is like such a binary, like good or bad. It's just not the way most people's brains work. I try to not put that pressure on them, but we overschedule them.
Yeah. I underschedule my kids.
I mean, part of that is an attempt to protect our kids in general from risk and danger. And many parents are actually transferring their worries and anxieties onto their children.
That I'm fucking doing.
For sure. And it's hard it's just hard to live in this world and know all of the things we know and not allow that to seep into who we are as parents and how we worry about our kids, how we talk to our kids, the things we talk to our kids about and what they're exposed to. It's really hard. And it's also because, you know, it's that thing, well, if you jumped off a bridge, would you know, if everyone was jumping off a bridge, would you do it? Well, everyone's jumping off a fucking social media bridge.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're all doing it.
Yeah.
And we're all doing it. And we know, like, this is going to end poorly, but we're all just little lemmings flying off the edge of a cliff.
I used to have such
I'm being
a
really positive today.
No,
so that's
no,
great.
Both of us. I mean, listen, I used to have such a strict policy that, you know, no phones at the dinner table. We don't watch TV when we eat dinner in my house, yeah. Other than one night a week on Thursday nights we do because they leave the next day, or, you know, weekend nights right. Is fine. But school nights, we do not. I'm more lax about that than I used to be. And no phones at the table and all that stuff. You want to know who has their phone at the table more often than not?
You.
Yep.
Uh-huh. I know.
It's fucking me. Like, you know, clients writing me, I feel like I have to write them back right. In the moment, but it's my kid's time and I'm not. Or the phone buzzes and the little red right. Thing comes up and it's the news and right. It looks, you know, a pandemic outbreak more, you know, and I'm like, no, I have to be better about putting that shit aside.
Right. Trying to shield kids from these things that are stressing their kids out, parents are actually making it worse because they're simply not allowing their children to actually deal with their issues and learn from it. So as a parent, again, there's no right answer. It's how much do I shield my kids and put them in a bubble? And that's not helpful either, because then they don't learn things. But how much do I let them know about the world that they're going to be entering? I mean, I look at Zoe, I'm like, you're 14. 4 years, you're going to be 18. You're going to be living as an adult. You need to know what the landscape of the world looks like yeah. That you are going to be heading into.
I only have Harper for 2 more years.
I know.
Like, it's crazy to me. We're talking about colleges. We're planning to look at a college trip next year. Like, she'll be a fucking junior.
Yeah.
And she'll be driving come October. Like, you know, get off the fucking road is all I gotta say. No, she's I've driven with her a few times. She's actually pretty good, and she certainly corrects my driving, which is really fun.
Right.
But, you know, I think what I've been trying really hard to do ever since she called me out on, you know, feeling like she was overwhelmed and tired, and so much of it was coming from my own anxiety, which was very hard to fucking hear, by the way. But right. Thank God she felt like she could say it.
Right.
Because I was like, I could hear it. It sucked to hear it. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, okay. Yep. And I apologized to her. And I was like, you're right. I do that. And I have to work on that. And then just being like, I'm here to listen. Right. You know, like, tell me what else is going on and what else can I do to help? Because I can give you advice. Right. I can tell you what worked for me, didn't work for me. But all the things. You don't fucking care.
No.
Yeah. Like, you don't care. You have to experience
it. I mean, part of growing up is learning how to release negative emotions in the face of inevitable stress and allowing your children, you know, and this is something I also learned in like 12-step programs, allowing someone to have the dignity of their own experience.
Yes.
Which means falling on their face sometimes and fucking up and making mistakes and you being the person that's there to be like, I love you anyway.
Yeah.
And we're going to figure this out. But really, personal experience is key to operating in the world and to learning mistakes and learning what works. I don't think there's any person in the world that can look at another person and go, oh, that's how you live life. I'm just going to do that. We don't do that.
No.
And thank God we don't do that, because then we'd all be alike.
Well, and if we try, we fail, and then we never feel like exactly. We're living up to expectations. Again, that's right. Sort of what's happening with social media.
And, you know, if kids never figure out how to release those negative emotions, then they're more likely to experience severe anxiety as teenagers or adults like me.
Me too.
I want to be able to fix all of this. I think as parents, we all probably feel, I'm sure a lot of our Never Nationers out there will have comments about this and respond that
we have a lot of teens that listen too, so please weigh in.
And that we know. Yeah. I hear you.
We don't understand because we're not you,
right?
But we hear you.
Yeah. I can't possibly imagine what it's like to be a young person right now. My experience was different growing up.
God, yeah.
But there are some similarities of just normal growing up teenagehood bullshit. And I know how the social media and the world is stressful and the pressure of succeeding and all those things affect me. And I have 40 years of life experience and the ability to be able to differentiate like things I should care about.
Right.
And things I have.
Well, and you can look at something. I mean, I can too, but honestly, you're even better at that. Be like, that was Photoshopped and that was, you know,
nice.
You can actually like as being in the business as long as you have. You can look at a picture and be like, that's bullshit. I've met that person. They don't look like that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, where like there have definitely been times where I'm like, yeah, but look at them. You're like, that person doesn't look like that in real life.
Trust me, what I look like pre-makeup and what I look like post-hair and makeup are two different Jodies. Literally.
I mean, no.
Not as much as some people. Look, yeah. You can still tell it's me, but like.
You're made up, Jody.
Right. But let me tell you, there are people out there that, and most of them are very famous on social media.
Yeah.
That if you stripped down and took away the 3 hours of getting ready and hair and makeup and clothes and all of that, they look very different.
Oh, fuck. We have a friend who, if you took off all her makeup and everything, she doesn't look anything like what she does.
Exactly.
Like, at all.
It's crazy. So please, parents, understand that the sadness that is happening right now is it's across the board. It's all young people for the most part, maybe with different forms, different extremes of the depression and anxiety, but it is happening across the board. And we need to be able to talk about it with our kids and to also be able to separate ourselves from all of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's as much, I think, working on ourselves through all of this and being the example as it is the work that young people have to do. And so, you know, I definitely find myself more like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to engage in that. I'm not, you know, and it sucks. It's hard.
It is hard.
I'm struggling being a 40-year-old woman in this world.
I love it every time you say that, though.
That I'm 40. Yes. I know. It's so fucking weird. It hasn't quite hit me yet.
So good.
I really can't imagine what it's like to grow up with the pressures of what young people are going through right now. So if you are going through it and you're listening to this show, just know we love you.
Mm-hmm.
We hear you and we support you. And it's all a little fucked up right now, but there's also some really good things happening in the world. You know, try and read a social media account called Tank's Good News.
I love that. I like that one. That's awesome.
Watch some fucking cat videos, but don't get like overwhelmed by like Celia.
Like I did.
Try and find the good in the world. And it was
volunteer your time. Go be a volunteer.
It's the Mr. Rogers quote, which God bless him, not even religious. But Mr. Rogers used to, you know, somebody asked him, like, well, what about all the terrible things that happen in the world? Like, how do you deal with that? And he said, look for the helpers.
Yep.
Look for the people that are jumping in and helping. And that's what I've always tried to do is like, yeah, there are some fucked up things in this world, but there are also some people that will dive into it head first and try and stand up for others and fix it and change the world. And so remember that it's not all bad. And Mescal has to tell me that sometimes. He's like, babe, it's not all bad.
Yeah.
Just because that's what you're reading, it's not all bad. And I have to remember that. It's because it fucking sells. And
it does. It does. Dustin does the same thing with me where he's like, you can put that down. It's not all bad.
It's not all bad.
It's true. So, and really, like what you're saying about find the helpers, be a helper too.
Yeah.
Like that's why I said volunteer, be of service. I know I've said that before, not just, you know, kids, but parents, do it together if you can.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of ways that you can do that. Even you don't even do it with an organization if you aren't sure that you want to commit, you have commitment issues like I do. You know, take your kid to the beach or a forest and bring a garbage bag. Yeah. I promise you, you'll find garbage.
Yeah. You know, just do whatever it is. But being in the spirit of service for myself, and I know for young people, you know, service is a big part of recovery. And I mean, recovery in the sense of drug and alcohol, but also recovery in the sense of just
emotional stuff
in general. Being of service, not overly service.
No. Not codependent.
But being of service to others and taking time out of your day to do something nice for someone else.
Yeah.
And young people, I try and encourage that with my girls too.
Same.
Is if you see someone or something that needs help, stop and try and help.
Mm-hmm.
Because time spent in service is never time wasted.
That said, don't get in a van with an older man who says that, you know, his dog is injured and can you help
or anything like that.
We're not that kind of help. Right.
But
I'm just saying that because we had our youngest ones. Remember, they almost did that.
Well, I think now they're a little more like.
I know. But do you remember that?
I do remember. Like, oh, look at that van. And he was waving and I was like.
And he's like, and he had a puppy. And he was like, look at the puppy.
It was literally a dude in a van with a puppy.
With the windows like tinfoiled over.
No, not even tinfoiled. There was no windows. It was like.
You're right. It was scary fucking.
And that was that moment where you're like, okay, all of this that's happening right now,
yep.
Don't do it.
Yeah. And the little ones were like, oh, we're like, nope, stop right there. Like, come back over here.
And luckily, I think our older ones were actually the ones that were like, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, there's probably a whole bunch of kids in the back. Don't do that. They call the cops. Right. Yeah.
So anyway. Don't get in strange vans. Try and give yourself a break. If you can set that example for your kids,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you they will follow along. If it's getting out to go for a walk.
Or just have a chill day. My kids and I do that one day of a weekend. We always say this is a chill day. We don't get out of our pajamas.
Yeah.
We watch movies all day. We eat stupid snacks. You know, maybe we'll go out in the back and like fart around or whatever. Yeah. But like we don't leave. We just have a chill day.
Just have a chill day. And I think it's really, really, really important. So there, you know, look, there are no easy answers. There's no quick fix to what's going on with our young people's mental health and mental health across the board. But I really encourage all of you as human beings and as parents or, you know, just people to really jump in and try and wherever you live, whatever it is, try and help promote mental health care, proper mental health care and insurance companies and all this stuff. Like there's a reason that people are fighting for healthcare, and it's because we need to step in to be able to protect all people. And, you know, the pressures of life do not stop for any of us. And so, you know, sometimes we all need a moment and a break. And so allow your young people, your teens to have that. God, I just, we wish you all the best. We love you. I know as a parent, this isn't easy.
It is not.
As a human, it's not easy. And I'm sending everyone big, squishy, wonderful hugs.
Except me, because I don't like them.
You love it.
No. Before we forget, also, I want to remind everyone who parents and kids, you got school counselors. Yeah. Talk to your school counselors. I have a specialty in school counseling, and that's what led me to become a mental health counselor. And I promise you, and I'm not talking about guidance counselors, though, no offense to guidance counselors, that degree has changed your school. When you get a degree in a specialty in school counseling, you have to learn everything that you have to learn to become a mental health counselor. They are really qualified to help your kid. And if they can't, they will be able to probably find you a service of somebody who can.
Yes. It's important. I have had to contact the school about mental health care and stuff, and they absolutely provided it. She, you know, missed a period of school and worked with her. And that was
That's great. Awesome. And school social workers as well. Didn't mean to leave them out.
Yes.
Also fantastic.
There are resources at the school level, and, you know, just don't be afraid to ask for help, whether you're a young person yourself, whether you're a parent. Ask for help for yourself and for your kids, because there is help available out there. And yeah, fuck social media.
Oh, God. Seriously, fuck social media.
Even though if you'd like to find us on social media, you can find us at Never Thought I'd Say This. And me at Jody Sweeten.
I'm at the Celia Behar.
And just remember, it's not all bad. It's not all bad. So you guys, we love you. Take care of yourselves. And remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids. But maybe social media, a little bit.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audio Boom original.